Ladies and gentlemen, for the last time in the current series, we present the Navy Lark with our three stars, John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray. Yes, it's time for the crew of HMS Troutbridge to go on leave again. The time when the hearts of their families are filled with sheer stark terror at the prospect of having them at home. And Admiralty face the even grimmer prospect it's only a matter of time before they'll be back again. Mind you, with Sub-Lieutenant Phillips in charge of travelling arrangements, it's doubtful whether they'll ever go at all.
Ah, here's a train that'll do for you, sir. Departs 9:43 and arrives in London. Oh.
Well?
It doesn't seem to go to London.
Mr. Phillips, up to now you've given me 23 trains that'll do, followed rapidly by the same 23 trains that won't.
Hang on. Here we are, sir. Oh, this is it, sir. Look, departs Portsmouth 10:23 and arrives in London at 10:22. Lummy. How does it do that?
Perhaps it goes backwards.
Why, of course. Now, why didn't I...
Come in.
Oh, good morning, sir. I've got the list for railway warrant for Saturday, sir.
Oh, right, Chief. I'll push them through.
Where are you going, Chief?
Don't tell him, Chief, or he'll look up 500 trains that don't go anywhere near there.
Yeah, I know, sir. The last time he told me what train to catch, he was dead right. Except for one thing.
What was that?
It was a goods train. So this is where you all are then, old socks?
Yes, Lieutenant Commander Staunton. Yeah. We were just discussing our leave.
I suppose you're going fishing, as usual.
Oh, no. No, I've had fishing for a bit. It's not really done, is it?
What is it, sir?
Going fishing on your honeymoon, of course.
Oh, no, hardly, sir. There's lots of others.
On your what?
Honeymoon, old boots.
Just a minute. Are we to understand that you're getting married, sir?
Yes, so I'm told, yes. I want to chat to you chaps about it. It's on Saturday morning, so if you've got a bit of time to spare before you shove up, I'd like you to pop in and have a butcher's. There's some grub and wallop laid on afterwards, I believe.
Do we know the ladies,
huh? Oh, I doubt it, old nut. No. Oh, but I've caught a beauty, though. I've caught a beauty. Weighs about 135 pounds, and she must be about this long, at least. Oh, yes.
Well, sir, all I can say is this is excellent news, but it's certainly a bit unexpected.
Surprised me, too, old Watson. Still, my name was on the invitation card, so there can't be a mistake, can there? I'll just give the vicar a buzz on the blower and let him know he's working, shall I?
Help yourself, sir.
Oh, good man. Oh, I hate using these blasted things. The time I've dialed the exchange letters, I forget the number. Hello? Oh, hello, is that you, Vicar Old Bells? Yes. Staunton here. Can you tie the old ball and chain on a Saturday? Oh, good lad. Yeah, what's that? Do I want the organ? Good gracious, no. No. You keep it. We haven't got room for it, over. Yes. Yes, I thought so, too, yes. Saturday it is, then. Right, cheerio, old jumble sale. Well, that's settled, isn't it? And, oh, if I'm a bit late, just ask him to start without me, will you? Cheerio.
Well, before we have a whip round, it seems to me we ought to have some idea of what the present we give the captain and his wife to be is to be.
Sir, before you do yourself a mischance.
Thank you, Chief. Any suggestions? How about you, Lieutenant Bates?
Well, sir, I did have one idea, but I'm afraid it's rather short notice.
What was it?
A little invention of mine, old man.
Oh, blimey.
Well, I made one for my brother when he got married. It's a sort of magic eye device that opens your front door for you as soon as you get to it.
Did your brother like it?
Not much, no. I must have put the floggle toggle in upside down because it didn't work too well. It held his front door firmly open all day, but the moment he tried to get in, it slammed the thing in his face.
Oh, so I suppose he had to use his key after all, sir.
That was the trouble. He did. As soon as he put the key in the lock, there was a blind blinding flash from the magic eye, and he got 240 volts up his thumb and index.
Oh, nasty.
Yeah, wait a minute, sir. Yeah, oh, no. I think I might be able to help, sir. How about giving the happy couple a blanket or two?
No.
Oh. Well, what else then? Oh, no. Wait a minute. Look, yeah. Oh, yeah, look. Yeah, how about, how about a gallon or two of flat grey paint, sir? I mean, you say, you know, he's bound to do his material decorating sometime, isn't he?
Yeah, possibly, but no, thank you.
No, no, right, so let's somebody. This is it. Here, how about something for the future, Mrs. S. then? You know, say a unique long white tubular shaped shopping bag. Held together at the top with a natty fastening and a white rope, intertwined through little brass holes.
No, Chief. We are not having a whip round so that we can pay you for issue blankets, admiralty paint, or a kit bag.
What are we going to give them, sir?
I don't know. Of course, in my family, we always give a dinner service.
What, the same one?
Yes, quite often, actually. Nobody likes it.
If you think crockery is a good idea, sir, when the first plate gets dropped, there'll be a nasty scene.
Yes, yes, and if he breaks it, she'll burst into tears.
Yeah, bound to, sir, and that'll probably start the first row.
Now, wait a minute.
A lot of harsh words will be said.
And they may even cut the blues,
now,
then.
Look here.
In which case, she'll throw the first thing that's handy.
Which will be the rest of the dinner service.
But number one wants us to give them.
Yeah, and the captain isn't going to thank us for giving her the ammunition, either.
So that she can take aim.
And throw 11 plates and a couple of vegetable dishes straight in this mush.
Which will be the end of that marriage.
Yes. So why don't we give them a few blankets, a gallon or two of paint, and an novelty tubular shopping bag instead?
No.
Well, we don't exactly seem to be in agreement, do we, sir?
I think the chief's got a point, you know, sir. Instead of giving them one present, perhaps it would be easier if we give them two. The officers could give them something, and the lower deck could give them something else.
Oh, I see. Two smaller presents instead of one big one.
Yeah, I second that, too.
Yeah, I rather thought you would. However, Chief, there is one thing.
Oh, what's that, sir?
If the lower deck give them blankets, grey paint, or a novelty tubular shopping bag, you'll get a present yourself.
I will, sir.
Yes. A well-aimed, flaming great rocket.
Oh, sir. I'll go and have a word with the lads.
Yeah, carry on, Chief.
Okay. That's agreed, then. Right, we give the captain a wedding present. I'll let you know how much it is shortly.
Yeah, I bet you will. I'm not happy. I know just what'll happen, and I'm not happy.
Neither am I, Fatso. It'll work out at 30 bob each for every man on the ship. And at the reception, we'll find we've generously given them an Empire-made plastic soap dish.
Now, look here, Taffy Goldstein. Are you suggesting that Chief Petty Officer Pertwee would stoop so low as to make a profit out of this?
Of course we're not. We think you're going to make a flaming fortune out of it.
Fatso, that's not nice. No, that's not nice at all, Fatso. I bet and cut to the quick, Kyan. K-W-I-K, quick.
Very likely, but I'm not happy.
Neither am I.
Well, that's nothing new, is it? Why don't you want to contribute to the captain's present, then?
Because he never bought me a wedding present, see?
You steaming great Welsh goat, of course he didn't. You're not married.
Ah. Ah. And that was his flimsy excuse, too. But I know what the real reason was. He's anti-Welsh.
Yeah, of course he isn't.
Aye, he's off.
You wait until we get home rule, lad. We'll soon have you down to size.
Stone meat be almost worth it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we'll have our work cut out, I grant you, but we'll whittle him down.
Yeah, you're rotten, that's what you are, Taffy. You're rotten. And a Welsh rotten at that. And well, rottens don't come any rotten than Welsh rottens do when you get Welsh rotten, because rottens aren't usually Welsh. The Welsh are rotten. I've lost myself now.
Now, don't worry about that. Once we get home rule, we'll find you.
Look, if you've quite finished, Laurel and Hardy.
Sorry, pardon.
Likewise.
Right, then. Right. What do we get the captain as a wedding present?
Well, in my family, we usually gives a dinner service.
In it, Mum? In it, Mum? Here, look, I know this much. If ever the Pertwee's a push for a bob or two, we're going to start flogging dinner services.
No, I'm not happy. I'm not, you know. I'm not. I'm not happy.
Oh, will you belt up, you great mountain of misery? You, look, Nari, I thought we might give him a set of double string, extra-worn, crisply woven blanket, for a couple of gallons of weatherproof, quick drain, lasting finish grey paint. Or possibly be superbly finished, novelty tubular shape, shot in there, in best quality canvas, with a netty weight fastening to a little brass hoe.
Good morning.
Come out here, you lot, nothing. Walking out like that, what's wrong with them then?
Nothing, and I know that for sure.
Oh, well.
Well, I inspected them all before I signed for them when they were delivered to stores.
Now, there's only one answer to this. You petty officers can give him one present, and us downtrodden victims of the service feudal system will give him another. That way, we might stay out of the nick and have a couple of bob left in our pockets at the same time.
Who is it?
It's me, my love, your husband.
So, you've decided to come home at last, have you? I suppose you've been out with the boys.
Oh, yes. Yes, we went to a show, then to a pub, then on to a club where we drank ourselves
out. Silence! How dare you snap at me like that, you little dictator? Now, you can come in because there's a lot of work to do.
Oh, thank you, my love.
You can start by cleaning upstairs first.
Yes, certainly, my love.
And this time, Henry, when you get to the bedroom, I'm not standing for any more horseplay with your little feather duster.
Of course not, my love.
If I hadn't put a stop to it, you'd have had me ornaments off.
I'll be careful, my love.
Wait. You haven't told me yet why you were so disgustingly late this evening.
But it was Lieutenant Commander Staunton, my love. We've had an invitation.
Oh, have I?
No, it's for both of us.
Well, we'll see about that. Well, what's this invitation for?
He's getting married on Saturday.
Oh, the poor girl. She can't realize what she's doing. Heaven knows I've had enough of it, if anyone has.
So have I.
No, you haven't. And don't remind me of our wedding, Henry. It was years before I lived that disgusting little exhibition down.
What disgusting?
I thought I'd die of shame when I saw you standing there in your father's suit.
But it was brand new. It was a lovely suit.
Possibly. But your father's 5'4" and you're 6'1".
It may have been a shade short.
A shade short? I felt as if I was marrying a 35-year-old schoolboy during Bobber Job Week.
Oh, really, Ramona?
No, my mind's made up.
Sir Willoughby and Lady Todd Hunter Brown will be there.
The Todd Hunter Browns? In that case, we are going.
I was thinking of having a new dress uniform.
What? Just because one of your fellow layabouts gets married, there's no need for you to go squanderbagging.
Well, it was only a thought, my love.
Well, forget it. If you're a good boy, however, you can have your old dickie pressed.
Thank you, my love. I would like to look smart.
Now, what are we going to give them?
I thought we'd give them that dreadful dinner service my sister gave us. You know, the one with the great thick plates and the vegetable dishes with the lids that don't fit. Do you remember the first time I washed it? Half that ghastly pattern floated off and disappeared down the plug. Mind you, it was the best thing that... What's the matter, my love?
It wasn't your sister that gave us that dinner service. It was Mars.
Oh, dear.
Whatever we give them, it'll have to be rather obviously better than anything the Todd Hunter Browns give them. I insist upon that.
Oh, very well, my love. I'll give up my pocket money for a month to help out.
Oh, good boy. Now off you go. And remember, Henry, no more shenanigans with your feather duster around my whatnot.
Well, I thought the ceremony went off jolly well, didn't you, Mr. Phillips?
Oh, rather, sir. I must say, I like the bit when the vicar said, "Will you take this woman?" And the captain said, "Certainly, old clock tower, where does she want to go?"
Oh, yes.
And that funny rattling noise when Captain Povey's dickie suddenly rolled up like a shop blind. Cool.
Gracious, Mr. Phillips, don't look now, but the vicar seems to like his grub, doesn't he?
Rather, sir. He hasn't stopped wading in since we arrived here.
Everybody else finished ages ago.
I know, sir, but perhaps... What was that, vicar? Oh, certainly. Pass the gravy, somebody.
Madam, ladies and gentlemen. Please silence for the first chat. Our dear friend, Sir Wobbly Tiddly, No. Sir Tuddly, Liddly, Liddly. If your friend and mine, anyway, there he is.
Right, sir, settle down. I want to get on with me nattering. Amelia, my love, you got me notes?
Certainly, Willa. How are?
Oh, thanks. Ladies and gentlemen. 6 large ginger ales, 14 bottles of scotch, 3... Yeah, this can't be right.
Oh, sorry, pardon, Willow. That's my shopping list. There you are.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I say with all due modesty, and in this day and age, what is needed is just such a plan. Never have I seen. But let us not look on the dark side. For who was it once said? And it is in this spirit. We must search the four corners and in the middle as well. I think it only right for me to say that in all the years I have been a registered nurse, a medical. I cannot remember ever witnessing with such incredibly mixed feelings. And in asking you to contribute all the old clothes you can spare, I know I can rely on one thing. But of course, indirect taxation is another problem altogether. Carry the banner high. Look left, then right to me, care of Broadcasting House. And in return, you will receive a large packet free of charge. That's me lot.
Well,
said, Willie.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes, sir.
I think the vicar wants the mustard again.
Cool. Where's he putting it all?
Well, usually on his plate.
For the next chat.
Uh-oh. I think the toastmaster's been toasting on the choir.
He wouldn't be pert if he hadn't, sir.
Hey, let's have a little harsh now. Tea prelum, Frau. Tea prelum, Frau. Shane in your groove. Lieutenant Commander Starrow.
Thank you very much. Where's Stalin? Where was I? Oh, Lord, I was forgetting. Where are my notes now? Oh, here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, 6 large ginger ales. Sorry, pardon, Lady B. Olgatus. This lot's yours.
Not yet, but I have every hope that they soon will be.
Good luck to you, then. Yes, and try not to make a wave. Now, where was I? Ah, yes, I remember. Having a hot dinner after the dew. Now then, I'd just like to say... What's that? Oh, certainly, yes. Yes, the biggest what? The biggest disgusted. Oh, no, pass the bigger the custard. All right. Yes. No, that's all right. You tuck in, old Gators. Yes, tuck in. I would just like to say how much the old girl and I appreciate the delightful gift of a dinner service given to us by your chaps in the wardroom. I would also like to thank the Petty Officers' Mess for their gift of a dinner service. And the ratings for the dinner service they gave us. And we much admired the dinner service given to us by Captain and Mrs. Poby, coupled with the fine dinner service we received from Sir Willoughby and Lady Todd Underdiller. I understand that some of the chaps up at Admiralty are sending us a dinner service. It will come in jolly handy. Hey, good heavens. Have a good leave, chaps. Have a good
leave. Lummy, sir, I've just been working it out. They've got 144 plates, 12 vegetable dishes, and 6 gravy boats.
Yeah, well, they should be all right when the vicar calls for a snack, then.
He's worse than Fatso.
Shh. I think he wants the custard again.
What? Oh, certainly, vicar. Yeah, they're coming over.
Lords, ladies and gentlemen. Please. Oh.
Who's that?
Ladies and gentlemen, on this auspicious day, I thought you might like me to read you a little poem.
Oh. Thank you.
A little poem I have entitled...
Henry!
Yes, my love?
No smut.
Of course not, my love.
Good boy. This is no time for all that old guff about Dan, whatever he was.
No, my love, no. A short poem entitled The Captain and His Lady by Henry Poby. Verse 1.
Mr. Phillips, Chief,
sir.
He's got to be stopped.
Leave it to me, sir. I'll just get to the old Joanna and we'll have the ship's choir.
Well, that could be worse.
And the side by side in life's late November, with faces so wrinkled and tired, the captain and his lady...
It's lovely.
Can you read it?
Abbas is beautiful, sir.
Lovely, brother.
No. Virgil, wait, I haven't finished.
Yes, you have.
No. Right, lads. From the top. 1, 2.
A Troubridge. A ship so loyal and true. Troubridge. Sends all the best to you. Troubridge.
Did you say Troubridge?
Yes, I said Troubridge.
And Troubridge to you. Diddle-diddle-da-da, diddle-diddle-da-da, da-da-da-da, Troubridge.
What was that? Sounded ominously like Uncle Ebenezer.
Yes, it was. He's taking the bride and the groom to the station in his luxurious limousine.
Well, cheerio, you chaps. Have a good leave.
And goodbye, dear old sir. Well, sir, I suppose we may as well make for the station ourselves,
Yes, we haven't got much time left before our trains go.
Right, you carry on. I'll catch you up as soon as I've checked up. Everything's in order here. My train's the last one to go.
I ask.
Oh, no. That's all right, Vicar. You carry on. The cake's just behind you. Lock up when you've finished, will you? Young Pompey.
Tickets, please.
Oh, certainly.
You'll find the others over there, sir.
What? I thought their trains would have gone by now.
They have, sir. Hours ago. And so's yours.
Mr. Phillips, what have you done?
Oh, hello, sir.
I'll tell you what he's done, sir.
My train don't go on Saturday.
And mine only goes on race days.
And mine goes through here at 85 miles an hour.
And what about yours, Heather?
It was a cheap day excursion in June, which doesn't leave from here anyway.
Brilliant. And mine left hours ago. Mr. Phillips, you're a genius.
Well, fair's fair, sir. Huh? My train was fish only.
If I'd been here, I'd have put you on it. When are the next trains, Chief?
In one short word, sir. Tomorrow morning.
I see. Now, if we can get a taxi back to the dockyard. Oh, yes, I thought we would.
Well, fancy that, sir. What a bit of luck.
How much, Nanky?
Well, seeing it's after me usual time and there isn't anything else available and you've all been paid, a quid each.
I'm too tired to argue. Pile in, everybody. Hand him a pound, everyone. We'll sue him later.
Rotten, Nunky.
All right. Breathe in, Fatso.
I am.
Well, breathe out, then. There's a good lad. The door's shut.
Right, off we go, Nunky. Everybody's in. Out.
Now what? You'll all have to get behind and push.
A pound each, and it won't even start.
All right, come on, out we get. We're all together with a jolly Evo, gents, please. Oh, come on, now.
Here, come back!
We paid you a pound each. Wait till I get my hands on him. I'll do him a grievous mischievous and I'll do a...
Save your breath, Chief. We'll just have to walk it.
I'm not happy about that. I'm not, you know, I'm not happy.
Ah, come on, Fatso. First 50 miles are the worst. Here, if you step it out a bit, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll buy you a pint in the naffy.
I can't afford it.
No. I mean it. Think of it, Fatso. A nice foaming pint when you get to the other end. All right? Lift! Right! Lift! Right,
Trapridge, a ship so loyal and true, Trapridge, send all the best to you, Trapridge, did you say Trapridge, yes we said Trapridge, and Trapridge, to you,
That was John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray working their passage in the last of the current series of The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Mrs. Povey was Heather Chasen, Lieutenant Commander Staunton was Ronnie Barker, Lieutenant Bates was Michael Bates, and Sir Willoughby Todd Hunter Brown was played by Taniel Evans. Incidental music for the series was by Tommy Riley and James Moody. The announcer was Robin Boyle, and the recorded production was by Alastair Scott Johnston.